Hello, this is Carol Bond with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated August 9th, 2016. We'll begin today with an article on the front page, and the headline is Rounding Up National Honor. It was written by Teresa Churchill, and the dateline is Cerro Gordo. You might say Sierra Day's passion for cattle was born and bred into her. Her mom, the former Cheryl Allen, grew up on a grain and livestock farm near Petersburg and developed a natural affinity for raising and showing beef cattle. Quote, "I've always been told I inherited it from a grandpa I never knew," Cheryl Day said. But no matter whence it came, Sierra's first love has led her to unexpected heights, even before she heads to Lakeland College this month to study animal science. The 18-year-old was one of just two Illinois students chosen in for the inaugural class of U.S. Presidential Scholars in Career and Technical Education, the same month she graduated from Cerro Gordo High School with a perfect grade point average. The honor, along with being among four Illinois students chosen as 2016 Presidential Scholars, garnered her an all-expense-paid trip to Washington, D.C. in June for a medallion presentation. The Presidential Scholars Program was established in 1964 to honor the country's most outstanding graduating seniors. It was changed in 1979 to give special recognition to students with exceptional talent in the visual, creative, and performing arts, and yet again this year to recognize up to 20 students for their accomplishments in career and technical education. Marcy Bilashecki, Sierra's guidance counselor, and Sid Kropel, her ag teacher, say they've never known another student like Sierra. Quote, "Mature doesn't seem like a strong enough word," Bilashecki said. "She's been involved in the family farm from a young age and seems to thrive on it." Kropel, whose first year of teaching was spent at Cerro Gordo, said Sierra was her, quote, "right-hand man," leading the school's FFA activities. Quote, "She's an extremely hard worker, but she was also good at allowing others a chance to speak and helping them along the way," she said. Cheryl and her husband, Bement native Ronald Mike Day, started their farming operation just inside the Macon County line on the northwest edge of Cerro Gordo 20 years ago. Sierra came along a couple of years later, and her brother Clayton 6 years after that. Mike remembers hanging a swing in the barn where he and his wife worked cattle so Sierra could watch. She has been active in the Long Creek Critters 4-H Club since she was five, and she and her brother have been responsible for the family's 20-head Angus operation for the past 6 years. Quote, "The majority of the animals are mine," Sierra said. "I'm really quiet, and obviously they can't talk to me, so we get along pretty well. Being out there playing with the calves has always come naturally to me." She shows heifers, which about age two become cows, producing yet another crop of potential show heifers. She also shows calves. Quote, "Ideally, the body is deep and long, not too fat but not too thin," Sierra said. "The name of the game is how much and the quality of the beef they would produce. Their ability to follow a lead and to remain calm are also important behaviors she encourages in potential show animals. They get fed first, washed so their hair lays right, accustomed to a halter, and worked with. The heifers currently getting the royal treatment from Sierra are named Queenie and Victoria. Then it's time to call the cows, 8 former show heifers, to call them in from the pasture to eat. Most have recently weaned calves, and Sierra hopes all are pregnant. Each animal has a name, but it's gotten easier as their mistress has gotten older to sell cows when they're past their prime. Quote, "We don't really show steers, so we don't get as attached," Sierra said, "although our steers are pretty spoiled for freezer beef." She estimates she spends at least 6 hours a day with her cattle when she's in school and 12 to 14 when she's not. Sierra plans to transfer from Lakeland to Iowa State in Ames, where she hopes to focus her studies on ruminant nutrition. "I think I want to go into research," she said. There are a few photographs accompanying this article, which I'd like to describe to you. One has this caption, "Sierra Day feeds hay to the family's Angus cattle at her Cerro Gordo home." And it does show, as it says, Sierra picking up two very large bales of hay with about 6 black animals, beautiful, sleek-looking cows, on the other side of the fence, all very intent on enjoying the hay. Another photo shows Sierra dressed in red and white striped T-shirt with one cow, and the headline is, "Despite being a presidential scholar, Sierra Day still does her chores." She has this cow harnessed up for show. Then it also shows another one with Sierra and her parents, Mike and Cheryl, who enjoyed a trip to the Capitol as part of winning her presidential scholar reward. In this one, she is shown inside the pen as her parents look on. Another shows Sierra in a rather pensive mood with a caption, "She's very much at home at the family farm. She is one of just 20 U.S. presidential scholars in career and technical education." Another fascinating photograph on the first page has this caption, "Teams of oxen help pull the Orleans County Grammar School in Brownington, Vermont, on Monday. More than 1,000 people watched the moving of the building, built in 1823, with the help of a modern-day motor." And this took place in another state, in Vermont. The photograph is quite amazing, with these oxen hitched up and a small white school building up on wheels being pulled along the highway as a whole crowd of spectators watch. Also on the first page, we have this. DeWitt official sees no problem with second full-time job. And this was written by Edith Brady Lunny, who is a Lee News Service writer. The dateline is Clinton. DeWitt County Circuit Clerk Pam Barnes defended her decision Monday to keep her public paycheck as she works a full-time job that keeps her from her county office during business hours. Barnes, who was defeated in the March Republican primary for a second term to Michelle Van Valley, said she sought a legal opinion from state's attorney Dan Markwell on her second job that she said, quote, was an offer I felt I could not turn down. She declined to name her employer, but said the work is in the legal profession. The circuit clerk, who is paid $58,363 by taxpayers, said she goes to her county office several nights a week and weekends to complete mandatory reports related to the office that maintains court records and collects fines and fees. Quote, "I am fulfilling all my obligations, and I'm in good legal standing," Barnes said. Asked if she believes she should collect her county salary when she is working full-time at another job, Barnes said, "I think I have more than earned that paycheck." She said she's worked long hours as circuit clerk and been successful in efforts to boost the amount of fees collected by the county. Mark Wells said Monday that there's nothing in state law that prohibits Barnes from holding her new position. Quote, "It's up to each elected official to set their own hours," said Mark Wells, adding that he has received recent work-related emails from Barnes. Barnes, who is set to leave office when Van Valley takes over December 1st, said she has confidence in the five staff members who are running the clerk's office. Quote, "They are very competent and conscientious workers. They know they can reach me if they need something," Barnes said. When Van Valley comes into office in 4 months, Barnes said she would make certain there is a smooth transition by answering any questions. David Newberg, DeWitt County Board Chairman, said he was aware of Barnes' new employment, but declined to comment. When she came into office in 2012, Barnes said she was forced to deal with spending issues by her predecessor, Lori Berger, who also reportedly spent little time in the office after losing her bid for a second term to Barnes in the Republican primary that year. Berger was questioned about decisions related to two funds used for scanning court records. The timing of moving on after public office also came up in 2010, when four-term DeWitt County Sheriff Roger Massey left office 4 months before his retirement and the swearing-in of his successor, Jared Schaffner. Massey had started a career in real estate as Schaffner was handling the day-to-day operations at the department. Also on page one, we find this education-related article. Maroa Forsyth School District Facing Financial Questions, and this was written by Chris Lusvardi. The dateline is Forsyth. Despite the district's financial concerns, the Maroa Forsyth School Board decided Monday to work with a search firm in its upcoming superintendent search. The board is planning to work with BWP and Associates at a cost not to exceed $17,000. The decision came as the board scheduled a special meeting for 7 p.m. Monday, August 15th at the grade school in Forsyth to discuss larger-than-expected classes and whether the district can afford to hire additional teachers. Quote, "This will be the most important decision the board makes," Board President Russ Corey said about the superintendent search. "We need to do it right." The board wants to search the entire state for the best candidate, and it doesn't matter where that person comes from, Corey said. Superintendent Mike Williams submitted his resignation in May, effective after the end of the upcoming school year. Some community members have been asking why Williams is leaving. With the district attorney, Susan Nicholas, present at the meeting, board members refused to discuss the reason for Williams' resignation in detail, saying it is a personnel issue. Until recently, the attorney has not been regularly present at board meetings. Board member James Keith said the opinions of the community members who have been most vocal aren't necessarily the only ones the board is receiving. Quote, don't presume you're the majority just because they're not standing up to talk, Keith said. The community is feeling it's time for a change. The board instead moved forward with discussion about how to proceed with the search process. In addition to the BWP proposal, it was also considering a proposal with a $7,900 search fee from the Illinois Association of School Boards. Corey said the district could miss out on the prime part of the hiring season for superintendents if it delays the search to consider other options, including with the board conducting the search on its own and gathering input from all stakeholders such as staff and community members. Board member Chad Rue said the board needs to ensure the district is in a better place a year from now when the search is completed. The superintendent is in charge of a multi-million-dollar operation, which Rue said emphasizes why the search needs to be done in the best way possible. Quote, we don't have the right skills or experience to guarantee we'll be in a much better place, Rue said. As a board, I don't think we're ready to handle it. Interviews could be conducted in November and a new superintendent hired in January if the search stays on track, board member Lindsay Wise said. The district did not conduct a formal search process when Williams was hired. When questioned about how he was hired, Williams said he was approached and asked if he was interested in the position. Board member Rhonda Braden drew applause from those in attendance during the meeting when she expressed an objection to hiring a search firm. Quote, I do not think we can spend money on this, Braden said. A lot of money is going to this when it is needed in other places. The board plans to discuss class sizes during the upcoming special meeting. Following registration, class sizes for third and fourth grade could exceed 30 students, with three teachers for each grade. Keith said the board will need to determine where the money would come from if new teachers are hired. The district is already facing a tight budget, as the board is planning to ask voters to consider providing additional funding through a referendum in the November election. The proposal is seeking a 50-cent tax rate increase, 10 cents higher than one voters rejected last year. The 50-cent increase is projected to generate $963,000 at a cost of $167 for a $100,000 home or $333 for a $200,000 home. Additionally, as the school year is about to begin next week, the search for a new high school principal continues. The board approved the resignation of Scott Adrian effective August 1st as he left to become principal at Dunlap High School. Keith said several options are being explored to fill the vacancy in a cost-efficient manner. Further discussion about the high school principal position would come during the special meeting. Also related to education, on page 3, we find two more articles. Here's the first. Early College Prep Advocated. This was written by Valerie Wells. College success begins as early as freshman year of high school. Tanya Hines, Coordinator of Inclusion and Student Engagement at Millikan University, spoke at Antioch Missionary Baptist Church's annual back-to-school event on Monday. Doris Lewis, who is chairwoman of education and scholarship for the church, asked Hines to set the tone for the upcoming school year. Some years, Lewis said, she asks college students to speak to the high school and middle school students, but this year she wanted Hines to speak to high school and college students. Quote, "They're all winners," Lewis said. "They'll continue to be winners if they stay focused, study hard, and have faith in God and in themselves." Hines is a Decatur native and MacArthur High School graduate who went away to college for 2 years before joining the Army. After her active duty, she joined the Army Reserve, and her service helped her pay for finishing college. Hines lived in the Chicago area for a while and worked in the corporate world and in marketing, then returned to Decatur to teach at Garfield Montessori School and Johns Hill Magnet School before taking the position at Millikan. "Behaviors that will help with the transition to college," she said, "begin with asking questions." Quote, "It shows you feel confident with challenging your learning environment," Hines said. "It shows you're engaged and involved. Sit close to the front. Keep up with your assignments, and don't be afraid to ask for help." Hines also is head of the Long Vandenberg Scholars Program at Millikan. Colleges have help centers where students can go for tutoring and skill building, but in high school, ask teachers, she said. "It isn't necessary to load up on advanced placement classes to get into college," she said, "but students should challenge themselves by taking rigorous courses and not loading up fun electives." She also advised taking advantage of any dual credit courses available to save money on college tuition in the long run. She urged students to seek opportunities for leadership as well, both in and out of school, and to document the dates and positions to use on college applications later. "Academic excellence should be their first priority," she said, "and will work in their favor in terms of financial aid, and athletics can do that as well. Though the cost of tuition and housing at Millikan is $43,000 a year combined, that number can come down considerably through scholarships." Quote, "There's no limit to the number of scholarships you can apply for," Hines said. "My daughter is leaving for college on Thursday, and I just had her apply for another scholarship last week." On page 3, we find this article about crimes and the court. The headline is, "Man Threatens to Kill Neighbors with Gun." Tony Reed is the writer, and Dateline is Decatur. A man accused of threatening to kill his neighbors with a handgun is being held in the Macon County Jail. Dwayne L. Matthews, 18, of Decatur, was arrested Saturday evening and booked on charges of aggravated unlawful use of a weapon and aggravated assault involving a deadly weapon. Sworn statements claim Matthews committed the crimes on the evening of July 31st when a 55-year-old woman neighbor saw him walking around his yard in the 1500 block of East Grand Avenue. She said Matthews was arguing across the yards with her 16-year-old son before pulling the gun out of his pants and aiming it at him, threatened both him, his mother, and another man who was standing nearby. Quote, I'll smoke all three of your expletives right now, the statements quote Matthews as saying. He then referred to the woman by a derogatory name and told her, "It's loaded," before turning his attention back to her son. Quote, "I'm going to kill you the next time I see you," the statements accuse him of saying. Patrol officers dispatched to the scene quote the woman's son as confirming her version of events, as did the other male witness, who is 34. Police later conducted an e-photo lineup, and the woman was able to positively identify Matthews as the suspect who had pointed the gun at her son, it is alleged. Matthews remained jailed Monday night in lieu of posting $20,000 bond. If he makes bail, he is ordered to have no contact with his neighbors. E3 Briefs has a few articles, small articles related to crime. Headline, leg badly slashed. A fight in a Decatur bedroom between two men turned bloody Sunday morning when one of them slashed the other with a shard from a broken plate. Police allege. A 28-year-old man needed 12 staples at hospital to close the wound in his leg. But police reports say he was also booked on a charge of domestic battery because the other man involved was allegedly trying to defend himself. The reports say an escalating fight had seen him punched in the face and then kicked in the head, and he was about to be hit again when he slashed the other man with the plate shard. Meth charge. A Moroa man is facing multiple drugs charges after police accused him of manufacturing methamphetamine and then trying to dispose of the evidence in his parents' backyard burn barrel. A 54-year-old suspect was arrested Friday afternoon by the state police and booked on charges alleging he bought the materials to make the drug, manufactured it, and then tried to get rid of the evidence. Punch spurs arrest. Police arrested a Decatur woman early Sunday who had allegedly punched her boyfriend in the face after confronting him because he was having a sexual relationship with her friend. Sworn statements say the 19-year-old suspect admitted hitting the boyfriend, who is 21, and has dated her for a year after learning he had been unfaithful. She was booked on a charge of domestic battery. Police say the punch was thrown about 2 a.m., and the boyfriend suffered a bloody nose and a chipped tooth. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the August 9th issue of the Decatur Herald and Review. Please stay tuned.